Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we glorify you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 13 through 18. And let me prepare the screen, and we'll get right into our expository teaching this evening. Amen. Amen. Here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, Sanctify the Lord God in Your Hearts. Once again, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And so we're going to read verses 13 through 18, and here we go. And the Bible reads, And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Praise God, praise God. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. Verse 15, But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That's where I got the topic for this evening. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Verse 16, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Praise God, praise God. Here we go. Verse 17, for it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Verse 18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, look at this, but made alive by the Spirit. Praise God. There's a whole lot to chew on this, but I'm so blessed and thankful that we could look at this. So before we break down verse 13, I need you to catch this right up here. Let's go back up here. And it reads, in the original text, the verb rendered sanctify, a form of hagizo in Greek, means to dedicate, to set apart, to make holy, treat or regard with reverence and honor. We're looking at the word sanctify. Amen, amen. Now look at this. Lord God in the New Testament refers to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Peter says we are to sanctify or set apart the Lord in your hearts. Did you catch that? And are to give him a special place of honor. Of honor. Praise God, praise God. You see, saints, Peter positions this exhortation within the contents of persecution for doing what is right and suffering because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But my friends, but even if you suffer, I suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for doing so. Oh, that's right, he will. And so, my friends, don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. Amen. Praise God. And my friends, and if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it rather than react with worry and fear. Praise God. You know why? Because believers are to respond to persecution with worship and a renewed dedication to sharing the faith. Praise God. Praise God. So now, let's go to verse 13 and let's break this down. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? Verse 14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of what? of their threats, nor be troubled. Praise God. Praise God. We should never have to be troubled, saints. That's right. You see, Peter referred to the advice he had given the servants during this time, suggesting that if Christians were to suffer, it should never be for doing wrong. Praise God. Should never be for doing wrong. Look what I found in the book of Matthew right up here regarding this issue. Matthew 5, 10 through 12. Blessed, say that with me at home, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Praise God. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Let me pause right there. My friends, I'm sure that has happened to you. It has happened to me. I've been reviled. I've been persecuted. I've been mocked at. But that's okay, because great is our reward if you hang in there. And don't revile back. Don't take vengeance back. Can I get amen? Listen, take it like a man. Take it like a woman. And know that they need Jesus. They just need Jesus. Praise God. Don't let words hurt you. You know the old saying when we were growing up, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words may never. Words should never hurt you. Let it go in one ear and out the other. God will have his last say with them. Don't worry about them. Let's finish this verse right here. Let's go back. Verse 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly what? Glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Praise God. Praise God. I found another scripture to solidify this. Look at this. In James 1, 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres. Look at that. Under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will what? Receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who what? Who love him. Who love him. Oh, that's right. And I found this also in James. James 5, 10 through 12. Look at this. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, verse 11, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is what? Very compassionate and merciful. Oh, that's right. Look at this. Verse 12, but above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no's be no's. Lest you fall into what? Into judgment. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, if they had to suffer at all, they should suffer only for doing good. Their example is Christ. Your example is Christ. My example is Christ. Praise God. And so, because Christ, he never sinned. Yet, he suffered and died. Christ's suffering, saints of God, resulted in his death for all sins. And although he seemed to have been defeated for all the people that eyewitnessed the whole account, it looked like there was defeat there. But he was raised to life in the Spirit. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that? Oh, that's right. You see, my friends, Christ's death was once and for all time, past, present, and future. Praise God. And his sacrifice was sufficient. That's all we need is Jesus. All we need is Jesus, saints of God. And no one else will have to die for people's sins. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Christ will not have to die again. Praise God. Praise God. So, let's move on to verse 15 in 1 Peter chapter 3. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. This is where I got the topic once again. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with what? Meekness and fear. Praise God. Praise God. Meekness and fear. That is the key, saints. That is the key. You see, instead of being afraid of people, believers are to focus on Christ himself. By how? By acknowledging Christ as Lord and Savior, that they would recognize his holiness and be able to rest in him. Praise God. Oh, that's right. There is rest, pure rest in Christ. Look what I found in Colossians right up here. Colossians chapter 4, 5 through 6. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. What? Redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. That's right. You answer them with grace and mercy, just like the word says. I found this in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at this. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Now, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, praise God, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. See, they're trapped in the devil's snare, saints, having been taken captive by him to what? To do his will. You see, saints, there would be no room in their hearts for fear. Instead, they can always be ready to explain the reason for their Christian hope. Praise God. Now, while Peter may have been thinking about believers speaking in court and in public, he seems also, saints, to have in mind the everyday informal inquiries that may be directed at the believers from either hostile or even friendly neighbors, praise God, preferably friendly. But there's some hostile folks. Can I get an amen? You see, my friends, unbelievers can see that Christians have something different about them. Only hope gives us strength and joy in hardships and persecutions. But unbelievers will ask about it, praise God. And believers must be ready to tell them. You need to be on call, basically, and ready to give them the hope that lies within you. All Christians, say that with me, all Christians must be ready and able to give a reasonable defense of your faith and my faith, praise God. Look what I found in the book of Romans, Paul writing to the Roman church. He said it best, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Look at verse 17. "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Praise God, praise God. You see, my friends, they need not be apologists or theologians, but every Christian ought to be able to clearly explain his or her own reasons for being a Christian. Oh, that's right. We must proclaim and be bold. And one of the things, saints of God, is salvation. This world needs salvation. Friends and family need salvation. How many of you believe that you have to be bold now? And one of the key prerequisites of becoming a born-again child of God is repentance. You see, a lot of woke churches won't even call people to repent. They won't tell them that their sin is before God and it needs to be dealt with by a heart of repentance, with coming to God in humility. See, they don't teach that. They just say, oh, you know, just invite the Lord in your heart and pray and la-di-da-da-da-da, and you're saved. No. Repentance is crying over your sin, that you have sinned before a holy God. You're acknowledging to God that I've fallen so short, that we have sinned before God who created us. And only He can deal with our sins through a heart of repentance. Because when repentance takes place, then here comes God's forgiveness. Then He washes us in His blood. And once the blood has been applied to our temple, our body, then now He can fill us with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because He has cleansed our original sin with His blood. Now He can live in this temple that He has set aside, sanctified, set apart. Are you catching the saints at home? And one of the key scriptures that we love using at our church here is this, right up here, Acts 2:38 through 39. This is the very first sermon that was preached ever in the beginning church, the ecclesia, the church, the birth of the church. It's found in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. Remember, let me just say this. Remember scaredy cat Peter? He denied Jesus three times. He was scared. He didn't want to get beaten. He didn't want to die. But yet when the Holy Ghost fell, he was filled with the power of God. And spiritual boldness came upon him. Oh, that's right. And this is his first sermon. Then Peter said to them, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? The remissions of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Look at that. For the promises to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. That's it. There it is right there. You know, I have a dear friend named Steve Eustace, married to Marisa. They're bringing a dear friend tomorrow around 5 o'clock, Thursday. Some of you who are listening that want to come and watch this gentleman give his heart to the Lord and be baptized, we'll be having a baptism at 5 p.m. tomorrow evening. Yes, oh, that's right. I'm excited. I can't wait. I live for that. I want to see people being birthed into the kingdom of God. And it first starts with repentance and then baptism. And then God just, baptism doesn't save you. I want you to catch this. But it is an act of obedience. It's following the commandment, repent, be baptized. So in repentance is God's forgiveness, the washing of his of the blood of Jesus upon your life, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and then baptism is an outward expression of what has happened inwardly. That's the sequence. Praise God. Praise God. Isn't that a blessing, saints? Let's move on to verse 16 in 1 Peter chapter 3. Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be what? Ashamed. Oh, yes. Conviction will come upon them one day. Oh, that's right. You may not see it, but down the road, after they mocked you, after they've ridiculed you, some of them will have a conscience and feel bad about it, but they may not show it to you. You see, my friends, believers must not be obnoxious, but share their faith in a gentle and respectful way. Can I get an amen? And to keep one's conscience clear refers to one's personal integrity before God alone, as he or she lives consistently with our knowledge of God. Praise God. And many of you have wonderful, wonderful wisdom and knowledge of God. But see, my friends, unbelievers also have consciences that to guard their morality and actions, but a Christian's conscience has been transformed by God. Did you catch that? See, the unbeliever, they'll want to put a defense to the ways that they live, but the born-again believer, our conscience has been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. We got supernatural power working on our behalf. Look what I found in Romans chapter 2. Look at this. In Romans chapter 2, 14 through 15, look what it says. For when Gentiles, that's you and I, who do not have the law, by nature do the things in the law. These, although not having the law, are a law to themselves. Verse 15. Who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves, their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. Did you catch that, my friends? Oh, that's right. That's right. Look what I found in Hebrews. In Hebrews 13, 18. Look at this. Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. That's the life of a believer. We have a clear conscience now. We don't have the monkey on our back anymore. We don't have to keep turning around. Who's following me? You know, God has erased and eradicated our past sins, our present sins. And guess what? Even the sins that will be committed in the future. Oh, that's right. Once God applies the blood, once he seals us with the Holy Spirit of promise, we are forever his. But you must be born again to experience that, saints of God. Oh, that's right. Praise God, praise God. We serve a mighty God, don't we? You see, my friends, the Holy Spirit helps each believer know and understand God's will and sensitizes his or her conscience to God's desires. Listen, our desires for the Lord comes from him. It never came from us. Before we got saved, we had nothing to do with God. But once we became saved, we were transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And now, his desires for us are embedded in us. And now we desire the things of God. I'll share that with the men's Bible study last night. You know, just because someone just confesses God and, you know, oh, I invite you into my heart. I said exactly what Jesus said. What did Jesus say about this? He says, judge not lest you be judged. We are not to judge anyone. I want you to get this clear. But Jesus went on further to say, you will know them by their fruits. The fruits of who? Of a believer. A true believer will demonstrate what God has transformed in his innermost being. Number one, he's been washed in the blood, him or her, forever forgiven, filled with the Holy Spirit, and now that transformed person by the power of the Holy Spirit wants to be in his presence, wants to be in Bible study, wants to be in church, wants to win others to the Lord, sharing their faith, oh, that's right, loving the things of God, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Now, you got to ask yourself this question. Many of us have friends and family members who confess Christ, but they have no desire at all to do the things we love, which is Bible study, coming to church, winning souls to the Lord, worshiping God, having a prayer life, waking up thanking God. Many of them don't do that. They profess Christ, but they don't do that. They still live in unbelief. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. So what does that mean? That means the supernatural transformation has not taken place. Now, we can't put the robe on and say, well, I don't know if that person's going to go to heaven or not. We can't judge that. All we can do is examine and see people's lives and where they're at currently. Are they loving God? Are they praising God? Do they have a prayer life? Do they teach Bible study? Do they love Bible study? Do they love church? Do they love worship? Are they with you and their conversation has been cleansed? They no longer have the F word and the D word and all the F bombs. That's been gone. They don't drink and smoke and chew and hang out with people that do. They don't do none of that no more. That's the old man. They're not clubbing anymore. They're not thinking of evil things anymore. They're thinking of pure things. That is the fruit of a believer. When we gather on Sunday, we look around, and the ones that consistently come, we're believers. We're born again. We love God. We're there to hear God's word so that we can be strengthened in our faith, that we can obtain more wisdom and understanding and knowledge, and also bring others to be delivered. And many of us still need to be delivered in areas in our life. But that's the sign. And many don't have that. I'm not going to say they're not saved. I can't put on the robe. All I can see or say is, I don't see any fruit. So what do we do about that? We pray for them. Oh God, I pray that they would truly come to a place of repentance so that you would wash them in the blood and fill them with the Spirit, and they would be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You see, friends, all believers should keep clear consciousness, clear consciousness. To do that, believers can avoid willful disobedience. Can I get amen? If we do disobey, we should stay in constant communication with God, repenting and asking for forgiveness. Oh, that's right. We must. It's a must. Look what I found in the previous chapter that we read, in 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at this. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from what? From fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. That's the key. God wants our life to glorify Him so that unbelievers will have hope. I've said this so many times, my friends. How many people have you invited to church, to Bible studies, to concerts, to worship concerts? Oh, no, thank you. Thank you. But no, thank you. And they don't come. They don't, you know, I get it. They don't come. I get it. But let me just say this. Your contact with them, because you know them and they know you, could be a friend or family member. They may never come and be a part of living the Christian life. But the only Jesus they're ever going to see is you, your life. Am I demonstrating the life of Christ before them? Because one day, they're going to turn to God and remember the hope that they saw in you. We give them hope. That's what we do. Yes, we're the salt and the light of the world. But God uses us for that purpose, to shake them, to bring them into a place of repentance, that when they see you and me, in their innermost being, they see hope that lives within us. Can I get an amen? Praise God. So, my friends, each time we deliberately ignore our conscience, we harden our heart. And over a period of time, our capacity to tell right from wrong will diminish. And that's where it gets dangerous. And as we walk with God, He will speak to us through our conscience, letting us know the difference between right and wrong. Praise God. And just by being Christians, my friends, these believers could find themselves facing persecution. Oh, that's right. And they ought not to, they ought not supply their enemies with ammunition. We can't give them ammunition by also breaking laws or acting and speaking in an evil way with them. This is why we cannot hang out with them. Their stuff will rub off. Oh, that's right. You see, my friends, if the Christians' lives were above reproach, unbelievers would end up ashamed. And when they speak evil against them, oh, that's right, they would. They would realize that they had done nothing more than slander someone's good life. Praise God, praise God. So, let's look at our final two verses we'll break down in 1 Peter chapter 3. It's found in verse 17 and 18. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ, verse 18, also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might, what? Bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. Isn't that a blessing, saints? Isn't that a blessing that God made us alive by His Spirit? Praise God. You see, Peter referred to the advice he had given the servants, suggesting that if Christians were to suffer, it should never be doing wrong. And if they had to suffer at all, they should suffer only for the good. And their example is Christ. Your example is Christ. My example is Christ. Why? Because Christ never sinned, yet He suffered and died. Christ's suffering resulted in His death for sins. Praise God. Praise God. Look what I found right here in Corinthians For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God. What? Toward you and I, praise God. Look what I found in Ephesians. Let's go back to Ephesians right up here. Look at this. Oh, examine yourselves. Let's finish this off in Corinthians. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know that you are not disqualified. What does that mean? I did a closer study on unless you are disqualified. That's basically someone that is a name tag Christian. In other words, they're never born again. They think they're saved. They say all the hallelujahs and all the cliches, but they've never been transformed by the power and the transformation power of the Holy Spirit. No. They still live a life of duplicity. They come to church for their own consciousness sake, but they have no desire for the things of God. So, let's go now to Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Praise God, aren't you so blessed? We have the confidence, saints of God. Look what else I found in Colossians 1:22-23. Look at this. In the body of the flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, on which I, Paul, became what? A minister. Praise God. You see, saints, although he seemed to have been defeated, he was raised to life in the Spirit. Praise God. Jesus Christ's death was once and for all time. His sacrifice was sufficient. Praise God. Praise God. Look what else I found in Hebrews. Look at this. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works? To what? To serve the living God. Praise God. Praise God. And look what else I found here. Oh, let's finish this. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death. For what? For the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal life. Wow. Wow. Aren't you so blessed, my friends? Aren't you so blessed? Praise God. Now, this is what I found in Romans. Look at this. Therefore, say that with me at home. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces what? Perseverance. Look at this. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, no one else will have to die for people's sins. Christ will not have to die again. Praise God. He did it all for us. He did it for you. He did it for me. But I'm pretty sure that those who now, every now and then, log on, possibly has never repented. You know, we get a whole bunch of views. I don't know who's viewing our live stream. But our prayer is that if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, this would be a great opportunity to do so. It's not a coincidence at all that you've logged on. Oh, that's right. Not a coincidence at all. Praise God. My friends, I'm here to let you know that Jesus is coming soon. We're seeing the turmoil in the world today. We're seeing the political divide, the geopolitical divide. We're seeing the enemies rising up against this nation. We're seeing the decay of our nation. But I said this to my brother the other day. For some people, they see all these things taking place, and it seems like everything is falling apart. I like to say it like this. Everything is falling into place. That's right. Because when you read Revelation, it talks about these things that will take place. It talks about the tribulation that will come. It talks about the Antichrist that will rise up with the false prophet. It talks about the church being taken away into heaven. It talks about that. It talks about when Jesus comes back and destroys his enemies and sets up his 1,000-year millennial reign on this earth. And those were with all his believers, all his chosen one that he handpicked before the foundation of the world. My question is, are you part of that group? Are you ready to meet the King? Well, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's watching right now to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would give your heart to the living God by faith. And if that's you, I'm going to ask that you would bow your heart and your head and pray with the heart of repentance, that you would cry out to God and truly turn. Turn from your evil and wicked ways. Acknowledge to God that you have sinned and that you need him to save you. So bow your heart and your head and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, saints of God, give God a shout of praise. Listen, I'm believing that someone got saved. Listen, down below is our banner. Why don't you log on? Our email and phone number is on our banner right there below that you see. Call us if you need prayer. We want to put a Bible in your hand. We want to do something special for you. We want to be in touch with you and lead you and guide you to a church that will teach and preach the unadulterated Word of God. And also, my friends, as you can see down below, we are so very thankful for many of you continually support our ministry, because donations are deeply appreciated. Well, my friends, this concludes verses 13 through 18 and 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm looking forward to picking up verse 19 next week. But listen, I hope to see you this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita. We'll be there at 10 o'clock. We're going to have beautiful worship by Let It Flow Ministries that are part of Amazing Grace. We're mighty, mighty, mighty thankful for Brother Andre, Sister Leah, and Brother Angel. And then we continually have other guests come with them. And we're mighty thankful for their diligence, and we're mighty thankful for their heart of worship. Why don't you come out and join us 10 o'clock this Sunday morning and be blessed. And so, my friends, I send our benediction, and it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. So, my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and myself and the Amazing Grace family, we hope you have a beautiful rest of your evening. You have a beautiful rest of the week. We're looking forward to see you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Be blessed, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.